Hi, my name is Angelica Chen. I'm a fourth-year medical student at McGill University in Montreal, Canada, and I'm here today to discuss about my latest research project called Cerebral Palsy in Canadian Indigenous Children. This paper is published in Developmental Medicine and Child Neurology, and it's also one of the key papers that will be featured in May 2021. So we decided to do this project because there's currently a lack of research about CP in Canadian Indigenous children. Most of the current literature about pediatric neurology in this population is dominated by fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. So aside from FASD, we don't know much about other pediatric neurology disorders such as CP. Indigenous peoples of Canada represent 4.9% of the Canadian population, and it's also an umbrella term for First Nation, Métis, and Inuit people. Indigenous population generally also have worse health outcomes as compared to their non-Indigenous counterparts as a result of Canada's long history of colonialism and mistreatment against Indigenous populations. The goal of this study is to determine whether these health inequities are also present in CP by examining and comparing CP profiles between Indigenous and non-Indigenous children in Canada. We conducted a retrospective cohort study using the Canadian Cerebral Palsy Registry. Inclusion criteria included 5 years or older, having a confirmed CP diagnosis by age 5, and having known parental ethnicity. In total, 94 Indigenous and 1,555 non-Indigenous children were included in the study. Children were defined as Indigenous if at least one parent self-identified as Indigenous. So we did two things. The first thing is that we looked at the general characteristics of CP, which include CP motor subtype, perinatal adversity, prematurity, disease severity as measured by GMFCS level, comorbidities, and parental education. The second thing we did is that we looked at CP etiology, so to see whether it's a perinatal or prenatal versus a postnatal cause of CP. And all analyses were done using SPSS. In this first table, we see the general characteristics of CP. We see that there are no significant differences in terms of gender, motor subtype, perinatal adversity, and prematurity. However, we do see that there are significant differences in terms of GMFCS level. So Indigenous children are more likely to have a severe disease as measured by GMFCS. We also see that Indigenous children are more likely to have comorbidities with an odds ratio of 4.46. And finally, we see that Indigenous children are also more likely to have a lower parental education with an odds ratio of 6.15. And these were all significant findings. So then the question is, these adverse factors that we see, so the more severe disease as measured by GMFCS level and the presence of comorbidities that we see in Indigenous population, is this a result of Indigenous ethnicity or lower parental education? To answer this question, we did a multivariate analysis using logistic regression analysis. And we saw that Indigenous ethnicity was independently associated with more severe disease, but not with comorbidities. And we also saw that parental education was also independently associated with comorbidities, but not with motor severity. So the second part of this study was to look at the etiology of the cerebral palsy. So comparing prenatal, perinatal versus postnatal. And we saw that there were no significant differences. However, if we look at the postnatal cause of CP specifically, we do see that Indigenous children are more likely to have non-accidental head injury as the cause of their postnatal CP. And this was significant with odds ratio of 8.18 and with 95% confidence interval of 1.86 to 36.0. So in conclusion, the findings in our study are consistent with previous research highlighting the health disparities experienced by Indigenous peoples in Canada. We did see that Indigenous children with CP have higher adverse disease factors as they have higher disease motor impairment and more CP comorbidities. So it's therefore very important to reduce health access barriers to improve health outcomes for Indigenous populations. Physicians must also be able to deliver culturally appropriate and sensitive care. And finally, we saw that Indigenous children with CP have lower parental education. We use parental education as a proxy for socioeconomic status. Since we know that social determinants of health contribute to health disparities, it's also important to improve the living conditions of Indigenous populations to help and reduce these health inequities. Indigenous children have a significantly higher odd of having non-accidental head injury as the cause of their postnatal CP. Hospital-based parental education programs are therefore important to raise awareness about non-accidental head injury, since this is something that is preventable. In British Columbia, their province-wide prevention program, called the Period of Purple Crying, showed that it decreased hospitalizations for non-accidental head injury by 35%. So even though the efficacy of prevention programs has been demonstrated, it's important to ensure that these programs are also accessible to Indigenous parents. So we can think about issues of language barriers and also issues of mistrust of the healthcare professionals. So ideally, such parenting programs should be led by Indigenous leaders so that they can foster better outcomes within their community. So thank you very much for listening to this presentation. If you enjoyed it, I highly encourage that you read our article entitled Cerebral Palsy in Canadian Indigenous Children in Developmental Medicine and Child Neurology. Thank you.